All right. Hey, guys, this is DJ Rem from the show Quoth the Raven, and I have the band The Broken Relics online today with me. So excited to get to talk to you guys. I have listened to your new album at least a dozen times from beginning to end. I can't stop listening. mentioned offline that I'm really a metalhead, but when I find a band that I like their music, I like their music. And you guys are fantastic. So much appreciated. So why don't we start, if you would, just introduce yourselves and your spot in the band. And then also, if you could introduce the members that are not with us tonight.
Yeah. So I'm Bryce Warmoth. I'm the younger Warmoth brother. I'm the singer, songwriter, and rhythm guitarist. We're missing Alex Jacobina, our bassist, David Walters, our drummer, and Zach Pock Kanowitz, our second or third guitarist now. And he also plays some keys and does some vocals as well. And then Zach.
And my name is Zach Warmoth, and I'm the eldest of the Warmoth brothers in the band. It's a little bit of a family affair over here. I'm the lead guitar and do vocals as well behind Bryce.
Awesome. Fantastic. So let's start and just talk a little bit about what are the Broken Relics up to right now? What do you guys have lined up for shows coming up? Kind of what I know you just released your album quite recently. So just kind of tell us a little bit about all that that's going on.
Yeah. So, we were working up pretty much the last few years. It started right before COVID, but we've been working on an album for most of the last, two or three years. We knew that we wanted to have a pretty big album release show. Got into contact with a few people. We finally, were able to book the basement in Columbus. We were able to make that happen. So that was really our big project for this year. Is putting that show together. The rest of the year we're taking, the next month off. We're doing a charity event in Youngstown, where we're all from. And, that'll be the last show of the year. Looking forward to next year. Our main goals next year are opening for some bigger acts. And, we're also working on putting quite a big show together. Hopefully come late spring. In Columbus. So that's really where we're at right now. The second that the album was done, to be quite honest with you, we did start writing. So we'll see where that takes us. But
about normal to what I'm used to talking to bands. Yep.
Yeah, it was just pretty immediate. So I don't know. We complain about being in the studio all hours of the day when we're in the studio. The second we leave the studio, we're talking about the studio again. So it's, I guess, the beauty of being a musician.
I hear it all the time. I talk to bands and they're either like you, already writing that next album after they've just released the first one or their newest one, or they already have another album written ready to go.
We probably, no exaggeration, probably have enough recorded to where we could probably do another album right now just with what we have. I don't think that's how we'll approach it, just because I think we're all in a completely different creative mindset. But no, it's true. I feel like most of the time you're in the studio, you're recording stuff that probably won't be there.
Yep. Yeah. Right on. So how long, so you mentioned that kind of the new album, you kind of started working on that like beginning of COVID-ish. How long have you guys been together, the current group as a band?
Yeah, so we four of us started together and at the end of towards the end of 2018 started kind of playing together. That's the four of us minus David, who is on drums now. We recorded our first EP that over New Year's going into 2019. And then that whole year of 2019, we played pretty heavily around Ohio, splitting between Youngstown, Columbus, up to Cleveland. You know, playing at least every weekend or so. And, you know, we had some big plans for 2020, as a lot of the world did. And, you know, we played a show in, I think it was late January. And then we got into the studio early February and started working on this album. And then the inevitable happened. And, you know, we've been working on it ever since. So it's, it's funny. We've been together for a few years now, but really only about a year and a half of that has been actually doing stuff.
Right.
So it's been good.
What brought you, when you guys first all kind of came together to start putting, you know, writing music and playing, what brought you guys all together in the beginning in the first place?
So I was down at OU for my first year of college. And to be honest, didn't have like too many like friends down there. It was a weird adjustment. And I just started kind of like playing around with the whole writing thing. And just kind of brought it to Zach. I know Zach was playing at the time with our current bassist and our current drummer. They were doing some, different things around Columbus. They weren't really playing out at that point, but they were in the early stages. And I'd reached out to Zach and just came up to Columbus for a weekend, and we just kind of kicked around playing some music. But then it kind of led to, you know, just going back to the people we've always played music with, and, you know, knowing that there was obviously some sort of connection there that worked well. So I think Zach immediately reached out to Alex. Alex was a pretty definite, like, we knew that Alex was going to be a part of whatever we were going to do. And then we needed a drummer at the time. I don't think really David was looking for anything at that moment in time. And I knew, you know, a drummer from high school back in Youngstown that I was absolutely killer. And that's when I reached out to Zach Potkanowicz, got him to come down to, actually, no, our first rehearsal was in Youngstown, but that's where the four came from.
Yeah.
the original four came from that. And then, you know, throughout playing and stuff, we actually had David, fill in a couple times for drums, and it felt right every time he did it. We just didn't have a spot open at that time. But the second, you know, our sound kind of, after being in the studio so much, you start to add things you wouldn't normally have. And our sound kind of grew to the point where it wasn't going to be replicable when it came to playing live. So we knew that was kind of the turning point where we're going to have to start growing, or our sound's just going to be too big for us. So that's when we reached out to David. Potsy's amazing at all things music, so it was a pretty easy adjustment for him. We brought him up, and he plays guitar and keys better than he probably plays the drums, which is crazy because he's amazing at that too.
That's awesome.
But yeah, that's how we came to be.
Nice. And then how did you come up with the name, The Broken Relics?
That's exactly
my favorite story. This is my favorite story. So this was the name predates any of us playing together. I've been in and out of bands since high school. When I got to college, I was, you know, still just flirting around the idea of, you know, starting something eventually and trying to, you know, I started thinking of a band name before I had a band, because that's always the hardest part, to come up with. And, it started off as a joke because, you know, I always liked the idea of, like, you know, so we're big Black Keys fans, the Black Keys. I always liked the something, you know, like I loved those band names. And I like the idea of using the adjective broken, like the broken. It's kind of like, you know, very honest and, you know, kind of accepting everybody's little bits that they that aren't maybe perfect, you know.
We're all a little broke for sure.
Yeah, we're all a little broke. Yeah. And so the rest of it came, though. We were me, our cousin Kyle, who is a pretty integral part of the start of the band too, from the other side of things that's not on stage. You know, we were at a friend's house in college who had a little tiki head, and he knocked it over and broke it. And he was like, "Oh, the little relic, you broke it." And then me and him looked at each other like, "That's the Broken Relics. That's a cool band name." And then it's that from that we stopped. And then, but later, as you know, we dove into it, it was like a lot of the music we listened to, it could potentially be considered like, you know, everybody says rock and roll is dead and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like a relic genre. So it's like kind of like our own little broken pieces of different genres and all of our influences all put together to make what we are now. So it's like as the name stuck, we started to almost add more meaning to it. It was like it really, so it started off just as a cool, funny name. And little did we know, it kind of really, you know, encompassed everything that we were making at the time, you know.
Gotcha. All right. Super cool. Thanks for sharing. Appreciate that.
Of course.
Yeah, I actually, I feel like I tried bringing other names up to you, and it was pretty, pretty quickly shot down. I feel like it was just like
I part had of the Instagram deal. Page for a while.
If you're going to be in it, you're probably just going to have to accept the fact. And I was like, all right, fine. I like the name.
He's had the URL since like 2010.
Yeah, right.
Now that you mention it, it's been really easy to get the Broken Relics everything without there being
I definitely had all the social media saved since like I think actually 2015, I'm pretty sure.
Nice.
Yeah, I wasn't horribly off.
Yeah, it was close. Yeah, it's been a while.
Oh, that's awesome. So when you guys, okay, so band started, you started writing music, what is that writing process look like for you? Now, I know kind of at the beginning, Bryce, you said it sounds like you do a lot of the writing, but you know, is it a collaborative effort between everybody in the band, or is like Bryce writes and hands it over and says, okay, now I take this and finish it? What's your process?
The best way I can like describe it is it's very like assembly line, honestly. It would be like equivalent to like sketching a picture and then giving it to other artists to kind of, you know, make it look pretty and paint it and really add the details to it that like I honestly don't have the patience or understanding to do. That's what's like, I would say, writing wise, I understand the writing side of things, and I like to lock myself in the bedroom and just kind of play stuff until something I like comes along and I think could work for us and what we're trying to do. And then in reality, I feel like I'm not that musical though. So I don't understand the real like technical side of music. And I think that that's one thing that like Potsy and Zach Warmoth understand. They're very musical and very understanding of the, you know, technical side of things. So I really just kind of sketch something out and then, you know, hand it to everybody else. And then as a band, we're able to kind of craft something that becomes this, you know, really pretty picture.
All right. Very cool. You have anything to add to that, Zach?
No, that's pretty much spot on. I mean, it is not, you know, a lot of, there's a lot even to where it's like, I'd probably be the only other songwriter of the group, I think, thus far. And even if I have something, it's, you know, I usually put it through Bryce first, and then whatever product he comes up with after that, it goes back to the group to fill in. And it's like, yeah, getting to the end goal is usually very collaborative, but a lot, especially recently, I think, like as Bryce has grown into a songwriter, and our trust of his songwriting capability has grown over the couple years, you know, it is very much like here's a song, let's make it, or here's the idea of a song, let's make it a song now, you know. And we kind of trust that, like, that judgment of his pretty upfront, so that helps make the process go so smoothly too, because there's that, we've really built that trust up, I think, between everybody.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say, or I guess ask, is it, you know, that must definitely help keep things smooth in the band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think another, you know, another big part of kind of our sound is all of us kind of stem from different, you know, musical genres that we like Zach and Potsy both are very big, like 80s, 70s rock, blues driven, and just the classics. Alex is more of a metalhead, and then David's a punk drummer, you know, so all of us kind of stem from different areas. I personally like love folk and Americana, and that's like what I know how to write. And it's crazy because it's honestly a challenge for me, you know, trying to, you know, look at what would work for us. So I have, you know, 700 songs that would make sense on a folk album, but, you know, we're going to end up using three of them for the Broken Relic. So it's, right. But that's the nice part. That's why it's like, I could never write a Broken Relic song from start to finish. There's no way, because my mind doesn't work the way that the guys work. They're, you know, they're so smart about how, you know, to just make the entire thing beautiful rather than just keep it cut and dry like a folk song. Our genre and taste of music is incredible, just how much it differs between person to person.
And I think the fact that all of you have different musical tastes, I think that shines through in the music, and that I think that's probably why I like the album so much, is because, you know, like, well, let me open it up so I'm saying the right words, you know, like,
dude, you can tell me anything, I would probably believe you. I lose track of which one's which.
well it's funny, so, and before, you know, Karina, my daughter, who's on camera here, she's the one that introduced me to you guys in the first place, and it was like, hey, check out this band, because she knows that I like and I'm open to listening to different styles of music. And I was like, holy crap, these guys are really good. I was like, good find, you know. And super fun, quick story. I had posted, I had been listening. So then I had shared your music on Facebook, and somebody from the band, you know, I tagged you guys because I like to tag bands when I share their music, so they know, hey, people like our music, they're sharing it. And you guys responded, which I really appreciated as a fan of the music. And then that's when I was like, you know what? I interview bands all the time. I might as well see if they'd be interested. So while I was talking to you guys on Facebook, I was texting her and saying, guess who I'm talking to right now?
Yeah, I think one big thing that like we've always gone about is, no matter how, I don't care if this is as big as we ever get, or, you know, we end up somehow as, you know, the biggest band on earth, I don't care what level it ever makes it to, I feel like we're all in the same boat. We don't want to be the band that somebody walks away and says, never meet your heroes. And
oh, right.
We're like just the most average people ever. Like literally the most not exciting, kind of boring.
Well, people. At the end of the day, we're all just people.
All just people.
Yeah. And we absolutely all just do different cool things in our life. And, you know, so when I listened to Night in the Desert, I listened to Crosswalk, and I'm like, and that was the first song I listened to. And I'm like almost headbanging to it, you know? And then, you know, I go into like Rodeo or Mia Bella, totally different sounds, but I'm like, I was loving it all. I guess my point here is I love the, it's not just the same style of song, every track brings something new and different. And I think that's part of what had that first time I listened to the beginning to end, I'm like, I wanted to see, what's this next track going to sound like? Because the last two haven't sounded the same. So what's the next one I'm going to listen to or sound like? And hearing that you guys all kind of come from different musical backgrounds and different genres of styles that you listen to, I think that shows through. And that, it, for me, as a listener and a fan of music, it makes sense why I got hooked like I did. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it.
Yeah, I love hearing, because that just hearing that, especially from an outside perspective too, is like, that's the affirmation and confirmation that we need to, as like songwriters and everything, you know, like, because that is a goal of ours, is to make, you know, is try our hardest for every song to have its identity, I think. And, you know, and so hearing like those are the things that just like that's, I'm going to have a smile on my face for the rest of the night, because like think about this, you know, it's not about the big show that we played. It's like these conversations and hearing that we kind of did what we thought we were doing. Like that's like, that's it. You know, I love to hear it. So yeah, I really appreciate that.
Awesome. Do you have anything to add, to ask about the album, Karina?
You guys are pretty cool.
Thank you.
Can we ask how you found us?
Honestly, I was looking for concerts to go to in Columbus because I go to Otterbein.
Oh, nice.
So I was just looking for concerts and I like saw yours and I'm like, this is probably a band I would like. And I clicked on your Spotify and I just started listening. And I'm like, Phoebe, you want to come with me? And And it was funny because I was in the line and there was a bunch of, there was another concert going on that night.
Yeah, Russell Dickerson. We walked outside. I'm like, there's no way this is for us.
That's the line that I thought I was in for you guys. So I was so confused. But I'm like, darn.
Yeah, it was terrible timing. But honestly, I know that I don't even know if like it's for sure or not. I know we're trying to get a similar show booked next year pretty early, but if there's ever the case, we'll just set aside tickets like right up front. So
we're going to be on the lookout. I've already scoped out your website and all that. And the part where you can follow to see like when the shows and coming up are, I've already signed up to the email list. And so but between the two of us, we will know.
Yeah. We'll make sure you guys know too. I know we're one show that we might be part of, and this, I don't have an official date, but I know we're working on a March show, opening up with a couple Columbus bands. So if you guys want to keep an eye out for that, nothing official yet. That's probably the closest Columbus date that we're kind of working for being a part of. So just to give you guys
I was also thinking I don't know if you guys would have any desire coming up to Michigan. That's where we're at right now, but I'm sure you're familiar with Bell's Beer, right?
Oh yeah.
Bell, like they have Bell's Oberon, right?
So Bell's in Kalamazoo, Michigan, which is like 15 miles from us, they actually have bands come and play. And honestly, one of the things after I was listening to you guys, I was like, this would be a great band. It's the right style of music for that crowd at Bell's. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Just to see.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. That's our goal for 2020. What are we at now? 2023? That's crazy. Yeah. that's like our whole goal, is just trying to hit the surrounding states, surrounding big cities. And yeah, I would definitely make a trip to Michigan. That would be sweet. Our grandparents lived up in Traverse City for a good chunk of their adult lives. So, definitely make a trip.
Shameless plug time for you. What social media, what websites, tell people where they should go to listen to your music, to buy any merch you have for sale, where they go?
Yeah, so you can find us on any of the socials at The Broken Relics, including YouTube, Amazon Music, Spotify, all the streaming services as well. For merch, there is a link through our website, www.thebrokenrelics.com. We have a store set up through Amazon on there for any immediate merch needs. And then as for new merch for in person, we'll be working on that, for this upcoming year. But yeah, for any immediate merch needs, you could go to the link through our website. That should have a good amount of, choices there. So give us a like and a follow if you would like to.
Now, do you have any intention, like with the album that's out now, do you have any intention of doing physical copies of it?
Yeah, we're in the talks right now. We have the design for it. We really, really want to do a vinyl print. So yeah, I think that that honestly, we're huge vinyl fans. Honestly, what it comes down to is we're just total like music and like electronic geeks that like to make weird sounds with, you know, what we're able to what we're able to find. So it's like huge vinyl fans. And honestly, I simply want to invest in vinyls so I can just listen to it and see what it sounds like.
Yep. I get it. That's like the first thing. And she knows when I come to Columbus, it's like, what record store is going to
There's so many of them. I think our very first show was at a record store. It was just the coolest thing. I love them. So I think that that's definitely on the horizon. We're in the midst of kind of finalizing who we're going to go through.
Fantastic. And I know it's not a cheap process for you guys to go through either. So So when bands, I guess my point of saying that is when bands do it, I know I really appreciate it because I would rather buy it on vinyl. I have a huge vinyl collection that you can't see over here. My wife asked me if I'm turning into a hoarder. But something about the sound, you know, I have an old Techniques from like the 70s, early 80s.
Nice.
Been refurbished with a really nice cartridge head on it. And the sound that comes out of it is just, it's amazing.
Yeah. I think like bands now, like their albums are gone. I feel like albums, just nobody makes albums anymore. At max, people do EPs.
Right.
And we told ourselves, we've had people say that we're stupid to do it. And that's not how things are done anymore. And all of us kind of agreed right up front that we're making an album because we want somebody to someday play it through and then turn it over and then listen to the backside and be able to see the artwork that we put time and effort into. And, you know, it's just, it's the whole package. You know, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like opening up.
Well, think of the real estate you get for artwork.
Exactly.
On top of that, you know, so, and speaking of artwork, who designed, you know, because Night in the Desert, so obviously has a desert theme, looks like a cowboy on a horse with a cactus. Who came up with that? Because that's super cool.
Bryce, so, I'll let you get all the questions. Bryce, go ahead.
Coolest thing ever. So, like, all of us are terrible artists. So,
well, rule actually, that out. Look, Alex is actually kind of...
Okay, yeah, Alex is an architect, so he has to have some artistic ability. But... minus Alex, we're all terrible artists. And we really wanted to do something different. I didn't want to do the like picture of the band out by like rundown areas. We knew that it wasn't like, we didn't want to just like copy and paste what most people are doing right now. And I fell in love with Lord Huron. And they were, the lead singer paints all their stuff and it's just gorgeous. What's that?
What song are you talking about?
The band Lord Huron.
That song, that band is wonderful.
Yeah, they're so good. And the lead singer paints like all their stuff. And I really love their artwork. They're very like desert Western almost. And we knew from the very, very beginning, it went through its like trials and stuff, but we knew A Night in the Desert was the song or the album title very early. It changed a few times in between, but we just kept landing back on it. And I love the like visual of that. And again, not the artist that can capture that and make it, you know, worthwhile to look at. So we actually utilized like AI, artificial intelligence to make a solely unique picture. So we're the only people that own it and we're the only people that have that picture in possession. And we were able to utilize pictures of like real life pictures that one of us have taken and push it through the AI to kind of paint it into whatever category we wanted it to do. And we created AI pictures for pretty much every song, and it all kind of follows this one fictional character, the cowboy. And it's really cool. We have probably 35-40 different paintings, all done through AI.
Yeah, that's super cool. Very cool. Yeah, I cannot wait to see it on a 12x12. That's gonna be amazing.
That's where we're at. I actually was so excited about it. I love the artwork, and I like when albums try to capture like the vibe of the whole album, and you know, the overall picture of it's the mascot, you know, and I like when the mascot really matches up with what you're getting. And I immediately went on Amazon and ordered a blanket with the album cover on it just so I could see it.
Yeah.
And it's going to be cool. I'm excited. We're going to talk about that tomorrow, Zach.
That's fine. Yeah. No, I figured.
These are fantastic things to geek out over, you know? I mean, yeah. This is the stuff.
We just love guitars. We love music. Really all we want to do it for, is just to be able to feed our musical addiction.
Right. I understand. I'm not musically inclined, but my addiction is talking to bands and listening to all the different music that's out there. So totally get it. So you mentioned Night in the Desert. As you knew early on, that was kind of gonna be the album title. I guess what's behind that? What led that to be?
So when I was like first, once COVID hit, everything was on lockdown. Obviously, I don't live in Columbus. I actually still am in Youngstown, so I was kind of separated from the band a lot of that time. And while I was writing, Zach had came home one weekend and we were playing like just some, like, I think it was on a Thanksgiving weekend. We were playing like some countryer stuff and more of that, you know, vibe, just kind of lackadaisically playing. And, we were coming up with this one thing, which ended up being Night in the Desert. And, the only lyric that kind of spilled out in that moment was just another night alone in the desert. And I was like obsessed with those words, and with it being COVID and all of us just kind of be stranded, and we're social people. So it was just awful. The whole idea was that it felt like we were all just all alone in our own little deserts, and we couldn't, you know, make it back to each other. We couldn't make it back to reality. So that's the main, you know, focus behind it. And we started with that. And then, you know, we went through the talks of, is it too country? Is it too this, or is it too this? And then it would just always just loop back around, land on that again. And eventually, probably 3 or 4 weeks before we had to decide, we all came together just simultaneously. And we're like, yeah, it's just going to be this. And that's the end of conversation. So
nice. Good when a plan comes together, hey?
Yeah.
All right, so I have a question. You guys have time to keep talking, right?
Oh yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
So a question for each of you. So, you know, I'm also always curious to know, when I talk to band members like yourself, kind of what kind of got you into music? What kind of factors growing up, did influences growing up did you have? And I kind of mean that it's kind of a twofold question. It's not just as simple as kind of music did you listen to? I mean, that's cool to know, but I always like to know, you know, did you have someone in your family that was musically inclined? You know, I've talked to bands and they're like, grandpa was a country western singer, and that's what got me into music, you know?
Grandpa played the spoons.
Whatever it may be. So what influences, it's a question for each of you to answer individually, you know, but what influences, and being your brothers, maybe similar influences, but what influences you guys have growing up that kind of led you on this path?
Go ahead, Zach.
Yeah. So definitely I'll get the combo one out of the way for both of us. And then we could each talk about our individual bits too. Definitely our dad was definitely a big influence. He's not necessarily, you know, and if, sorry if you hear a bird, there's a bird up here. He decided
okay, to. I have a dog bark.
So our dad, he was just a big fan of music, huge music fan. So music was just on all the time, you know, listening to the radio in the car and telling us about music, telling about his favorite bands, you know, like U2 is his favorite band, and there's a lot of elements in my guitar playing from The Edge, from U2, Night in the Desert being a song that's a good example of that. So it was just really kind of instilled to us from an early age of what, you know, what good music was, and it was just always, it was just always on. So, but then individually, I would say, you know, I was in band in middle school, and I don't know, I was definitely kind of like in my own little world growing up, as like socially, and was always just kind of average at everything until I picked up a guitar one day and learned that very quick and realized that, you know, like music would fit me in a place that I never got to fit in before. You know, it felt like, especially once I started picking up the guitar and got better at it, I was like, you know, this is, I have something now. Music just became my identifier. I liked different music than everybody around me. I played, you know, I mean, it was like, oh, that's Zach. He listens to Van Halen instead of listening to what we're listening to, you know? And so it's just, that became just my identity so early. And then I was really good. I'll tell my guitar story because it's my favorite, and then I'll pass it on to Bryce. I played drums first, actually, but then I got really good at Guitar Hero, the video game. And then I saw AC/DC live in eighth grade for the Black Ice tour, and Angus Young did the Hell's Bells solo right next to me on the catwalk. And I went home 2 weeks later and I bought an Epiphone SG, and then I locked myself in my room and I literally didn't come out until I learned how to play guitar. And that was like the big change. And then once I got that going, it was just like, yeah, this is my thing. I have a thing now. So I could talk about that. We would need another hour Zoom session for me to go into all the details about that.
Well, thanks for sharing. I mean, that's fantastic. It's something when you kind of find that spot where you feel you belong.
Yeah, 100%.
I get it.
Yeah, Zach, I'm literally picturing, I was in the car when he bought that guitar, and it's just kind of funny to think back on. It was literally two days after we... I'm almost positive the Saturday after we went to that concert,
it was that weekend.
No, for me, same thing. I mean, our parents just love, you know, all the good stuff. U2, Bruce, just everything a kid should grow up with. And, you know, we were able to, you know, be shown that very early. I think like where I specifically got into music was, we both spent a lot of time at our grandma's growing up. Our parents just worked so much, and we were lucky enough to, you know, get on and off the bus at grandma's house, spend a lot of weekends with them. And the one channel that was on throughout the day that wasn't awful was VH1. Uh-huh. And I literally would just turn on VH1, and I didn't care what song it was, it was just listen to music all day. And I think that plays a huge role that I, you know, looking back, start to notice. Then it was just, you know, whatever, it was background noise. But guitar wise, I bought a guitar first, and it was in like first grade. I was so bad. I took lessons for like 2 months, and I was like, I cannot do this. Dropped it. And that's when Zach kind of was like first, like picked it up and started playing just randomly. And then he got really good. I got jealous. So I had to buy one. I never ever caught up to him, but I bought an acoustic guitar because I saw, I'm not a huge fan of him, but at that point it was really cool. I saw Ed Sheeran do like an entire montage all on a looper pedal.
Okay.
And I was like, this is sweet. He made a whole song by himself pretty much. And I think honestly, I would credit Ed Sheeran's ability to do that probably as like my first like writing introduction and how to write. Just acoustic guitar and a looper pedal was how a lot of stuff worked in my head. I don't know why, but I think seeing that was really cool. Became huge fans of Kings of Leon, really liked the South ish rock and Southern rock, like that vibe. And that's kind of what, you know, just kind of sparked it for me. But yeah, I think all of us just love listening and just hearing different things and trying to replicate it. And, you know, different songs that we grew up listening to, we look back and we just, they're where they're at because of, you know, the type of happiness they bring to people. So I think a lot of where we're at now is just trying to capture, you know, some of the vibes that these older songs and even some newer songs give off and, you know, making them our own.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. This, you know, there's something about music that just, it is so, it brings people together. It just can change your mood. I just, you know, Spotify tells you, you know, like the top bands you listened to last year and how many minutes. I listened to a month worth straight. Like if I was to take, it would take me a month to listen to 24 hours a day for a month to listen to all the music I listened to in 2022.
How many minutes, Dad?
I'd have to look. It was a lot. It was crazy. This is so many minutes. I don't even know how many days this is. And when I put in the days and it was like 30 days worth of music I listened to, I was like, holy. But that's how important music is to me. It gets me through the day. It gets me through my work day while I'm working. It gets me through when I'm driving to Ohio, you know, when I'm driving the back roads of Ohio, because there's nothing but farm fields. It's like,
yep.
You'll wait.
Yeah. I've been on that. I've been on, what is that, 71 South? 71. Quite a few times.
It's probably one of them. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just farm, 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 pilot, farm.
A little more farm.
Yeah, we part of one of the reason we decided to venture out and try to do this more than just as a hobby is, you know, like bands like Kings of Leon, especially for the both of us, has truly at many points saved my life and been such a just monumental piece of my existence, really, to where we are like, you know what, if we can make something that could just help out one person the way any of these bands have helped me, then it's like, then I can go happy. Yeah. I could go comfortably, right. You know, and
rewarding.
Yeah. And that, cause that's what it's, you know, just knowing what bands have done for us without it, you know, these bands don't even know we exist, but they're such a huge piece of our livelihood and help us, like you said, there's no matter what my mood is, there's music for it to back it and help it. And it's like, oh, well, I'm sad, so I got to listen to this music now. There's never a piece of me that's not complimented by music. So it's like, if we could be a piece of that somehow, then that's what it's, you know, that's what it's all about.
Well, you are for me, like it, well, and I know for Karina too, but like I said, I know I've listened to your album front to back at least a dozen times now. It's constantly on loop. I'm constantly listening to it. I've even been sending it to people. I'm like, you got to check out this band that we found.
I found.
Yeah.
That Karina found that now I love that you should listen to.
Right.
It's crazy. Where, you know, speaking of listening to the song front to back or the album front to back, I always do it, and Zach's my scapegoat because I call him frantic every time we release anything. He's rolling his eyes. I listen to things so much and I try to critique it, and this is with anything in life, and it's just you get to a point where you're trying to just demand perfection and like there's no such thing. And I eventually told myself the week before the album came out was the last time I listened to all the masters, like front to back. And I'm like, I'm going to sit on this and not listen to this and just give it some time. Even when people, you know, reach out to me about it, I'm not going to talk about it. And then, you know, last week I was like on my way home from work, I have a good drive to and from work, and I was just like, I'm going to listen to the whole thing front to back. And throughout the entire thing, I was just realizing, you know, how, first of all, awesome it is that we were even able to do that, and even have the luck to, you know, meet the producer we did, who's Mark Abrams. He's amazing. Work at the studio we did, Vaughn Music Studios in Columbus, which is from top to bottom one of the best studios I've ever been to. And it's just amazing. It's just like you listen back on these things that you complained about for a year straight, and then you start to realize, you know, why you were doing it in the first place once you gave it some time to sit and just stepped away from it. So
you guys are all your own worst critics. I've come to learn that nobody critiques someone's music worse than the actual artist that creates it.
Definitely.
And so, okay. And thank you for it. Cause the next question I was going to ask you was, you know, what studio did you use? Did they do the mastering as well, or did you send that out somewhere else?
We used Brian Lucy, actually. He is a probably top five masters in the entire world. He's phenomenal. He's just so happened to be friends with our producer. Brian mastered Arctic Monkeys, Black Keys, Greatest Showman, has, you know, multiple Grammys. We were lucky enough to even, you know, be in his presence. And he did a phenomenal job. Between Mark and Brian, there's really no way a song can sound bad music quality wise. They're both just absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah. We're like lucky to like working with somebody like Mark, who is always from the beginning, from when we worked with him and talked about mastering, was like, oh yeah, mastering's not my thing. We should have that sent down. You know, like, it not try to take over the whole project. And, you know, it was like from the beginning, just very open, and it like, yeah, you should have it mastered. These are the guys that I work with that you should do, you know? So it was like,
yeah,
just that open, honest communication from the beginning was always there to where we knew what we would do. And, you know,
and I think that like we were able to learn a lot. You know, Brian, he's living out in LA. He theoretically doesn't have to give time to, you know, some kids from Ohio, unless you are the Black Keys, then he probably would give them the time. but no, he doesn't have to do that. He didn't have to do that, but, you know, he was willing to work with us, and he's amazing to work with. He's quick, he's spot on. And, you know, it was just, I don't know, it was a cool experience. And like I said, you're listening back on it and you start to realize how many amazing hands were able to, you know, be a part of your music and be a part of something that you tried to put together. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, it sounds fantastic. Now the last thing, we can't wait to hear you live.
Yeah. It's fun. That's our forte. We like to play.
And get your autograph, that too.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll give you the hookup for sure. We got you.
Awesome.
Okay, so one last shameless plug time. Let's remind listeners where to go to find the music, where to listen, you know, all that fun stuff.
Yeah. Go ahead, Zachy.
All right. So again, you can follow us at all the socials at The Broken Relics. We're on all of the streaming services from here to the sun, Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple Music. I'm sure there's streaming services we don't even know that we're on. So whatever you are listening to your music on, check us out. For merch, we have right now a link through our Amazon store on our website, thebrokenrelics.com. And then make sure to tune in for live shows for next year. See if we're going to be coming to a town near you.
Awesome. Well, we'll be on the lookout. Anything I see, I will be sharing everywhere through my channels as well to help promote you guys. And is there anything we haven't talked about that you want to make sure anyone that listens or watches this interview knows? Is there anything we missed?
Be kind to one another.
Be kind, for sure.
That's right.
That's it.
That sums it up. I really do appreciate you guys reaching out. We're still at a point where this kind of thing is wild to us that you came across us and shared it. And, you know, so just really thank you for checking us out. I'm so sorry that we were sold out, and I can't wait for you guys to come out ASAP. And yeah, just thank you for sharing. Thank you for reaching out. It's still, I don't know if it'll ever get be not crazy for us that people want to listen to us. It's just, well, you know,
to me that says a lot about your character. So that's good. And, you know, I hope you make it huge. That's always, you know, it always boggles my mind. And you run into this, you know, fans, they're like, oh, I want my favorite band to get big. And then their favorite band gets big. And then they're like, oh my God, they sold out. It's like, you know, you can't have it both ways. Right. You know, I'm not going to lie. I like Nickelback. I like their new album.
I heard new album was actually pretty good.
I don't care what
they went a little metal, didn't they? They kind of turned it up a little bit.
Hey, Dave Grohl always says there's no such thing as a guilty pleasure. If you like something, you like it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that's why I try not to get sucked into I don't go down the genre rabbit hole where it's like, oh, you listen to that genre.
Yep.
If music sounds good to you, it only matters to the person listening. If it sounds good, it doesn't matter. You know, Karina probably, I know Karina doesn't listen to most of the music I do, and that's okay. And I don't listen to necessarily most of the music she does, but that's why there's so many bands, and that's why there's so many, you know, but to be able to appreciate good music and good musicianship, regardless whether you like the genre or not, that's a whole nother thing. And people are too quick to get into the hate game. You know, I don't have any time or energy for that nonsense.
No. Yeah. Totally agree.
So, well, thanks guys. Appreciate your time. Thanks for spending an hour with us. It's been great. And, you know, just we'll be on the lookout for you guys for what's further to come and live shows. And now that I know you're looking at doing vinyl, I'm going to be really paying attention.
Yeah, we'll send you one once we get them done.
Yep. 100%.
Awesome. Oh, Karina has a question.
The Goo Goo Dolls.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's my song. I remember.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead first.
That's honestly the Goo Goo Dolls. I would say, cause we grew up in that like era, I would say the Goo Goo Dolls probably were some of the first, you know, musicians we heard on the radio. So big fan. Iris is one of the greatest songs ever written.
I was about to say, Iris was like one of the 30 songs on my iPod when I first got an iPod.
Yeah, same. Nickelback's album as their the Photograph album.
Uh-huh. It was everyone's. Yep.
Yeah. Goo Goo Dolls, U2, How to Dismantle an Atomic Bomb, mm-hmm. and
Green Day, probably.
Green Day, yeah. It would have been Green Day. Those were probably the starts right there.
First few albums.
My mom got really mad at us once because she heard Green Day swear in the car. It was like
my first album on vinyl was Motley Crue's Shout at the Devil.
Nice.
And my mom was going through her church phase and she made me get rid of it. So recently in the last few years, I was at a record store or something and I saw it. I'm like, I'm buying it because I can, and nobody can tell me I can't have it.
Nobody can tell me otherwise.
Right. That's right. Thanks again, guys. Appreciate your time. Best of luck to you guys. And we'll stay in touch. Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Have a great night.
You too.
Yes. Yep. Bye.